ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, entitled Instructions by Maharaj Prithu, verse number 50. Natyat bhudam idam natha tava jivyanu shasanam प्रजानुरागो महताम प्रकृति करुणात्मनाम नात्यद्भुतम् इदं नाथ तवा जिव्यानुशासनम् प्रजानुरागो महताम कर्णात्मनाम् नात्यद्भुतम् इदं नाथ तव जिव्यानुशासनम् प्रजानुरागो महताम् प्रकृति कर्णात्मनाम् ना नॉट अति Very great. Adbhutam. Wonderful. Idam. This. Nadha. O Lord. Tava. Your. Ajivya. Source of income. Anishasanam. Ruling over the citizens. Raja. Citizens. Anuragha. Affection. Mahatam of the great Prakriti nature Karuna merciful Atmana of the living entities. Translation: Our dear Lord, it is your occupational duty to rule over your citizens. That is not very wonderful task for a personality like you, who are so affectionate in seeing to the interests of the citizens, because you are full of mercy. That is the greatness of your character. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. A king's duty is to give protection to his citizens and levy taxes from them for his livelihood. Since the Vedic society is divided into four classes of men, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras, their means of livelihood are also mentioned in the scriptures. The Brahmanas should live by spreading knowledge and should therefore take contributions from their disciples, whereas the king should give protection to the citizens for their development to the highest standard of life, and he can therefore levy taxes from them. Businessmen or mercantile men, because they produce foodstuff for the whole of society, can take a little profit from this, whereas the Shudras who work as either Brahmana, Kshatriya or Vaishya should give service to the higher classes of society and be provided by them with a supply of the necessities of life. The symptoms of a qualified king or political leader is mentioned herein. He must be very merciful and compassionate to the people and see to their prime interest, which is to become elevated devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Great souls are naturally inclined to do good to others, and a Vaishnava especially is the most compassionate and merciful personality in society. Therefore, we offer our respects to a Vaishnava leader as follows. Vanchakalpa tarubhyascha kribasindhubhya evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Only a Vaishnava leader can fulfill all desires of the people, Vanchakalpataru. And he is compassionate because he is the contributor of the greatest benefit to human society. He is Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the fallen souls, because if the king or the head of the government follows in footsteps of the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas who are naturally leaders in missionary work, the Vaishyas will also follow in the footsteps of the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, and the Shudras will give them service. Thus, the entire society becomes a perfect human institution for combined progress to the highest perfection of life. So translation is, our dear Lord, it is your occupational duty to rule over your citizens. That's not very wonderful task for a personality like you, who are so affectionate in seeing to the interest of the citizens, because you are full of mercy. That is the greatness of your character. Om Jnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadandikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhute Mahabhu Yema Puro Vibhu Nurmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunansho Dasha Shoda Shatmaka Soram Krishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime. Hare Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see that both microscopic and macroscopic issues are well addressed. There is mention, even in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shrinvatam Sagatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayandasyohya Bhadrani Vidhunoti Suhursatam. Just in the beginning, it's mentioned how the problems of the heart can be addressed. We all want to see betterment individually and collectively, but how can we do that? That is mentioned in the writing from the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is hearing the pastimes of Krishna, hearing the holy names of Krishna. Similarly, even the last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam addresses the same issue. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam. Nama Sankirtanam, the stress is given on Nama Sankirtanam, chanting Krishna's holy names. Then Sarva Papa Pranashanam, it can destroy all the sinful reactions. This is the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam. It addresses the real issues within the heart and outside. So it is mentioned towards the end of second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. What are the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam? Because a Purana, if it is known as Mahapurana or Great Purana, there are certain
subject matters which have to be included in the scripture. So the 10th chapter of the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam explains what are the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very important to know. Tatra sargascha visargascha sthanam poshanam utaya manyantara ishanu katha nirodho muktirashrayaha. Right? So even from the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is well structured and explains what are the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Starting from creation, tatra the primary creation, visarga the secondary creation, sthanam maintenance, poshanam protection of the devotees, utaya creative impetus, manyantara different manus and their ruling in this world, and ishanu katha with a different pastime, narrations about the Lord, which is 9th canto. Nirodho mukti rashraya. Nirodho, then about the dissolution, we can see in the 11th canto, the 12th canto. 12th canto we can see primarily. And mukti, which is the subject of 11th canto. And ashraya. Ashraya means the samam bonam. What is the final shelter of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam? Which is the 10th canto. Interesting. There are many misunderstandings even about the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. One time I went to my hometown in Kerala. Then I was giving a talk on Srimad Bhagavatam to non-devotees. They are not devotees, but they are all familiar with Srimad Bhagavatam and they have heard maybe more than 100 Bhagavat Saptas. So they have notes. If I am quoting some verse, they will immediately recite along with me. So quite a scholarly audience. Then I told, what is ashraya? What is the shelter of entire Srimad Bhagavatam? Immediately, and I explained, entire Srimad the shelter or the essence, samam bonam of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna, which is the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. They said, no. It is not 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, why? Why is it so? Because in this verse, what I quoted now from the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th chapter, Tatra Sargascha Visargascha. So if you follow the order, Tat Sargascha Visargascha Sthanam Poshanam Utaya Manyantara Ishanu Katha Nirodho Muktir Ashraya. So if you follow the order, you end up in Ashraya is belonging to the 12th canto. And, you know, give me some logical explanation. Okay, that's fine. It's a sequence, but why is it so? They said, okay, that is because there is the final Brahmopadesh, the final spiritual instruction by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. Okay, that is the real purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why is it so? Because in that Brahmopadesh, actually, if you read literally that part of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami is literally, if you take the literal translation, Sukadeva Goswami is speaking about, okay, now you have to merge into the impersonal Brahman. Sukadeva Goswami is telling that to Maharaj Parikshit. Then one may wonder, why is it so? So I said, no, that's not the case. Interestingly, Vaishnava Acharyas give very elaborate commentary on that, Vishwanatha Sagara Thakur, very beautiful commentary, explaining how can Sukadeva Goswami give such an instruction to Parikshit? It is meant for Parikshit or anyone else? Sukadeva Goswami says, Rajashwarna Marishyati Pashuputram Imam Jahi. He says, this is one of the final instructions. Rajashri, you are not going to die. Pashubuddhim Imam Jahi. Pashubuddhi, this is the animalistic mentality. Pretty heavy. So, Vishwanatha Sagara Thakur asked, is this instruction for Maharaj Parikshit or for all of us? Why he has to speak that? Because Maharaj Parikshit, he gave up the kingdom, he went to the Ganges, bank of the Ganges, even in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he said, I am going to serve and meditate on Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, and I will not eat or drink. He has given up all connection to this material world and he is so detached. Now, has he got this animalistic mentality? No. And throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, this impersonal liberation is rejected. Muktim dadadi karhijit smana bhakti yogam. The Lord is okay to give mukti, but not bhakti yogam. Not bhakti. Why? Because if we give bhakti, especially the pure devotional service, that can control the Lord. And the Lord doesn't want to be just controlled by his unqualified people. He wants only to be controlled by the devotees. However, coming to the point, when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam from non-devotees, we don't get to the right conclusions. It is same with Bhagavad Gita, we never come to the right conclusions. Even though from the beginning, in the middle, till the end, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, all our Vedic literature are very consistent in presenting devotional service. Take Bhagavad Gita, very consistent presentation of devotional service. Many chapters in Bhagavad Gita, at the end Krishna says, my devotees know all of this. Even 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, even though it's a very Upanishadic chapter of Bhagavad Gita, gives a full analysis, the body, soul, the super soul, how the material nature works, why are we in this material world, it gives all analysis. Then Krishna says, my devotee knows, I'm a bhakta vijaniya, my devotee knows all. So he gives emphasis to devotion service in the entire Bhagavad Gita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's all about bhakti. However, if you hear from non-devotees, not coming in the paramparas, one can miss the point. It is so easy to miss the point, especially in the age of Kali. So, coming to the initial point, Srimad Bhagavatam presents the solutions to the problems within our heart and for the entire society. So it addresses issues on a microscopic level as well as on a macroscopic scale. As we explained, the beginning of Bhagavatam talking about hearing about Krishna, the last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam talking about glorification of Krishna. And here, this verse is talking about, and the purport is talking about, a social structure that can support dissemination of transcendental knowledge and gradual elevation of the entire society. Here, the qualities of Pridhu Maharaj is mentioned. Pridhu Maharaj is a great king. He is an empowered incarnation. He has the Loka Palana Shakti. He is invested with the energy to protect the old citizen. He can rule over. He is empowered with that potency. That's why he is just ruling over the world. And he leveled the earth. So he is very, very capable person. He is as good as Supreme Personality of Godhead because of his empowerment. And here now, the citizens, they are glorifying the Lord, Pridhu Maharaj, for his glorious activities and his great quality of compassion. Now if you see, Srila Prabhupada explains how the society is divided into four: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. And this classification, it may look little different at this point. Now, if you see, okay, there is a natural Varnashram system in the society. There are some intellectual classes, there is administrative classes, there is business class, there are labor class. So, in one sense, yes, this classification is natural to any society. Srila Prabhupada explains, it's natural to any society. However, when it comes to Vedic society, these classes are governed properly by scriptural injunctions. And the previous ages, they were not mixed up. Now if you ask, what is our quality? Oh, maybe a bit of Brahminical quality, maybe a bit of Kshatriya quality, maybe a lot of Shudra quality. You know, it's a mix. It's a mix of everything, mixed up. That's why if you ask, what's your profession? You know, I really don't know. I'll try something. People go to school, study for 1 year. Then, oh, really, I don't want to do that. Okay, I gave that up. And start something else. Then after, you know, a few months, no, not that. Because people are not aware of one's own real qualities because it's mixed up. One quality is not so prominent. So for example, previously, in the Vedic ages, Brahmanas, they used to have Brahminical qualities to a great degree. And when since they were trained, they could act as Brahmanas. Same with Kshatriyas. They had already, there were some qualities. And then, when they got the training, they acted as Kshatriyas. So they became great kings. So it is inherent, many qualities are inherent and they are predominant, one quality is predominant, and with the training they became perfect in that particular occupational duty. Whereas Kali gets mixed. So we are dealing with a complex situation. It's not so easy. We can see when we do preaching in the university, we can see some people say, oh yeah, first year I tried this, then I gave that up. Then I'm trying this and giving that up. Similarly, it goes on and on. I had my friend, he was doing a research and then he became a researcher in Melbourne Uni. work for maybe 12 years as a researcher, you know, quite intellectual work, you know, publications, etc., etc. And at one point, he came to me and he told me, look, I'm just done with that. This is not what I want to do in my life. I want to change. Then he became a programmer. So that is how it is. It's not clear. So the social system is not fixed in the age of Kali. It's mixed up and it is subjected to a lot of changes. That's why in the Vedic society, since the social system was very intact, was very steady, people could start as a Shudra and they could do the Shudra activities, which is serving the other classes. Then they could be elevated to the next stage, that is to Vaishya. It may take one birth or two or more, then slowly to Kshatriya and then Brahmana, and then one thinks about liberation. That was a very slow path of liberation. It was current in the Vedic age. That's why if you take the Vedic scriptures, many of the scriptures are giving instruction for different men of different consciousness, people of different consciousness. So they may be on a lower strata of life, but from there, slowly practicing the occupational duties, one can ultimately come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. This was the original, you know, the slow approach of spiritual progression. However, of course, we know in the age of Kali, it's not possible. Now, if you think, okay, now this lifetime, I want to be a Vaishya, and that's it. I will find out all the Vaishya duties and I'll perform them. First of all, you won't be able to do, because if you want to follow all the Vaishya duties, it'll be very difficult. And the society is not going to support that. And a gradual elevation in this age of Kali, impossible. So we need the direct approach, which is Krishna consciousness. So whatever we are, we may be mixed up, we may be a Brahmana, we may be a Vaishya, maybe Shudra, doesn't matter. Add Krishna consciousness and elevate to the real spiritual life, which is serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the direct path. So in this age of Kali, practically the only path works. That is direct Krishna consciousness. There's not just time to go about so much with a slow approach of going through different stages in terms of occupational duties. We cannot do that. There's no time for that. So Srila Prabhupada emphasized Bhagavad Dharma first. First, Srila Prabhupada didn't say that, okay, yes, indeed he emphasized occupational duty in one sense, but he didn't emphasize initially to establish Varnashram Dharma. He didn't establish that in the beginning. Later he said we need to do that. He emphasized at the end, towards the end. But initially he was not emphasizing Varnashram Dharma so much in terms of, okay, now who is a Shudra, who is a... No, he was telling, first let's have the head of the society, Brahmana. So he didn't go for the entire Varnashram system, okay, let's have some Shudras, let's have some Vaishya. No, let's have the head of the society. That is mentioned in this purport as well, because if we have qualified Brahmanas, then Brahmanas can train Kshatriyas. Brahmanas can train Vaishyas. Brahmanas can train Shudras. In that way, if there is head of the society, then all other classes can be trained. That is very important. Otherwise, it's not possible. So it is mentioned, just one Brahmana is enough to guide 10 Kshatriyas. 10 Kshatriyas could be guided by one Brahmana. And then if there are 10 plus 1, there is 11. Now if there are 11 people like that in the Brahmana and the Kshatriya order, then rest 89, sorry, what's the number? Yeah, there could be about 89 Vaishyas who can do the, you know, business. They can, you know, Krishi, Goraksha, Vanijyam, they can do all business activities, cow protection, agriculture, they can do all these activities. And to support that, there can be about 900 Shudras. So in total, if you see, if there is one Brahmana, he can guide about 1,000 people. That is the Vedic society. So Srila Prabhupada wanted some Brahmanas in this world, so they can guide. So this is very important, because Brahmanas can influence others and they can give Krishna conscious knowledge, and the entire society can at least make a slow progress towards Krishna consciousness. So this was Srila Prabhupada's approach. That's why he tried to speak to many leaders in the society, and we also try to approach some leaders. We try to influence some leaders, because that is kind of an easier way. Okay, of course, we try on a ground level, chanting Harinam, book distribution, etc. But influencing leaders, that is also very important, because if they get influenced, then they can help many people. They can be favorable to the society, also they can influence wider masses. It's very important to approach the leaders of the society. Of course, we know what is the status of the current leaders, as well as current people. If they are helping general masses sense gratification, they are being glorified. If they don't do that, then they kick them out. If there's an election, they give promises, I will do this, I will do the other thing. Then they come to the power, and if they don't give, many of them, they don't give. And then go out after their term. Meantime, if they can fill their pocket, they do that. So this is the current quality of the leaders. They don't have any spiritual backup. There is no spiritual backup. When Krishna was with Yudhishthira Maharaj and all the Pandavas, they were thinking where to establish a kingdom. Right? They established Indraprastha. Indraprastha was in nowhere, in a desert. Nothing was there. But there we can see, when they established the kingdom by the guidance of Krishna and the great Brahmanas, when they established there was a proper Kshatriyas ruling, then what happened? Strong rule was there according to the Vedic rites. Then what happened? All the Vaishyas, they wanted to invest. When there is a proper Kshatriyas ruling, then all the Vaishyas go there. All the Shudras go there, because they all get protection. This is the Vedic society. There were righteous kings who were under the Brahmanas. This is actually, so there is no power invested in one party. So that's why the Kshatriya kings are not totalitarian rulers who would do, they can do anything. Many times Kshatriyas are being criticized. You Kshatriyas, you know, in the Vedic, seeing the Mahabharata and reading Ramayana, oh, you Kshatriyas, you can enjoy unlimited woman. You're having a good time. What is this? It's very unfair. You are just totalitarian. But what's the reality? These Kshatriyas, in terms of personal character, a proper Kshatriya, he never runs away from the battlefield. And by all means, he is going to give protection to the citizens under the risk of his own life. A Kshatriya is the one who is ready to march forward in the battlefield. Not like the defense minister of these times. He will sit in the office, he will do nothing. Someone else will go and die. You die for me. I am going to do nothing. There is no bravery even for the chief of the defense system. You know, the minister, no, nothing, no bravery at all. So they were very brave. And they cannot give up their word. If they give a word, if a Kshatriya gives a word, he has to uphold the word. Even he has to give up the life, still he has to uphold the word. Do you think it's so easy to be a Vedic Kshatriya? Pretty hard. You can give up your life, but not your word. Right? It was Jarasandha. Okay. He was ready to do. Okay, fight. You know, he was telling, you know, I don't want to spoil my reputation. That was his worry. I don't want to spoil my reputation. Whatever you ask for, I will give. Then Krishna and, you know, the Pandavas, who were dressed up like Brahmanas, they said, okay, give me a fight. You know, give us a fight. So, give a fight. You know, they had a fight. And then eventually, Bhima killed. You know, they never, even Ravana, he will not give up his word. Duryodhana, he will not give up his word. Think about a demon. Duryodhana, he was not a devotee, he was acting against the devotees, giving all trouble to the devotees. Even Duryodhana kept his word. We know during the battle of Kurukshetra, Bhishma took this vow that I am going to kill you. Actually, Duryodhana taunted Bhishma by telling, you are very partial to your dear Pandavas. That's why you are not fighting so hard and killing them. You have the ability, but you don't do it because you are partial to them. Still, you have a soft corner for them. And for a Kshatriya to hear that, it's taunting. He thought, no. He said, tomorrow, I am going to kill all Pandavas. So he took 5 arrows and he said, gave to Duryodhana, you keep all these arrows, and tomorrow you give me, I am going to annihilate all the Pandavas. So Duryodhana was very happy, wanted to kill all the Pandavas, all great devotees. Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he knew everything. Arjuna was relaxing, sleeping. He told Arjuna, get up, something has happened. You had to do something, otherwise all of you are in danger. Arjuna was so relaxed, as a surrendered soul, he's relaxed. Just like a baby, he is completely relaxed on the lap of the mother. Similarly, Arjuna, as a surrendered soul, completely relaxed, even, you know, even while they're taking rest during the battle. He said, Krishna, what's the matter? He said, you go and ask Duryodhan, because he owe a promise. Because you remember, the Yakshas attacked Duryodhana and all other Kauravas. You protected them. You know, that was during the their exile in the forest. So he, you know, you can't ask for that promise. So Arjuna went and asked Duryodhan, please, can you remember that incident when Yakshas attacked and you had no hope, but I came and saved all of you? Duryodhan said, yes, I can remember. So now I ask for your benediction. Whatever boon you said you would give, I told, whenever I need, I will ask you, give me now. So they said, Duryodhan said, okay, what do you want? Arjuna said, give me those 5 arrows. Oh, you think he's a Kshatriya? He was a demon still. He had to keep up his word. He came, okay, take this. He had to give. Probably he felt very bad still. He had to give. He came. Dasharatha Maharaj, you know, Ram Navami is coming. Dasharatha Maharaj, even though Kaikeyi asked for that boon, very inauspicious boon, to send Ram on exile to the forest just before the coronation, did Dasharatha Maharaj have to give? See, this is Vedic Kshatriya. And the whole power is not invested in this Kshatriyas, because Brahmanas are guiding these Kshatriyas. The Brahmanas, if there is real problems in terms of the governance, Brahmanas had the power and right to interfere. Just like here, what happened to King Vena? He was, you know, he was just killing his own schoolmates. Take them for swimming, drown few of them. It was so cruel. Then they noticed, Brahmanas noticed right from the beginning, okay, this king is not going to be alright, he's going to create a lot of havoc. They tolerated, that's the Brahmanical quality, they tolerated to a great degree, and they were ready to give King Vena counsel. All of them went, approached King Vena and told, look, ultimately the Lord is in control. You have to act in favor of the Lord and the Brahmanas. Whereas King said, we have to stop all the sacrificial activities, and I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He declared himself the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the Brahmanas understood there is no hope, hopeless situation. What they did? They killed King Vena just by hunkar, by high sounding words. This is the power of the Brahmanas in the Vedic time. So there was the society that has been classified, but they were invested with right amount of powers. So it was not just that the king had all the power and no one could do anything. Brahmanas had the power. And did Brahmanas, could they act independently? No. They were acting according to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the whole Vedic society, the whole Varnashram system is pointing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. It's telling who is the Supreme and what is the purpose of life. So that's why the power, governance, everything is direct towards Krishna. Varnashram Acharita Purishena Parapuman Vishnu Aradhyate Pantha Nanya Toshakarana. So this is the whole purpose of Varnashram system, is to worship the Supreme Personality God, Godhead. Atakum Pidvacha Sreshta Varnashram Bhagacha So Anishtidasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshanam Bhagavatam Paskantra. The whole society is divided into Varnas and Ashram. But what is the purpose? So Anishtidasya Dharmasya. Whatever occupational duty that we do according to our nature, what is that? Samsiddhi, the perfection of that is Samsiddhi. The perfection is Haritoshanam, to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the whole purpose. And here, the character of such a great king is mentioned. He was very compassionate. As a great devotee, he was very compassionate. That is the quality of great devotees, very compassionate. The Vanchakalpa Tharyubhyascha Kribasindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanetyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha. The verse is quoted in Srila Prabhupada, quotes this verse in this purport. He's Vancha Kalpataru. He's like a desire fulfilling tree. A devotee is a desire fulfilling tree. We may wonder, why is it a devotee is a desire fulfilling tree? A devotee can fulfill all the desires? Yes, it is possible. A devotee can fulfill all the desires. See the example of Srila Prabhupada. Simple. He gives the highest benediction to the humanity. The highest benediction. Why? Because when one starts, just even in the beginning of devotional service, one feels satisfied. Materially, you can get whatever you want, still one is not satisfied. It's called adaptation. One get adapted to material things, material comforts. Whatever you give, one is not satisfied. And if you get more, we may think, if you get more, we'll be satisfied. We try more? No. And after some time, even wealth becomes a pain. Even a gulab jamun can become a pain. Do you know that? Initially, the gulab jamun, eat one, two, that's very good. Give me one more, eat one more. One more, okay. After a certain, after it reaches a threshold, Prabhu or Mataji, this one more gulab, oh no, I don't want this. Too much, oh just. And if you push that in, oh then it's a painful situation. So this is the material situation. You cannot really get satisfaction out of anything materially. But even at the beginning of our devotional service, we feel satisfaction. Chanting for some time, we don't feel satisfied. Chanting, dancing, having prasadam, association with the devotees, hearing about Krishna, one feels satisfied. So Srila Prabhupada and his representatives are giving this gift. So that's why Vancha Kalpataru. He's a desire fulfilling tree. Devotees are desire fulfilling tree. And that mercy come through the instructions. Primarily instructions. But it's not necessarily that it will be very pleasing to us. Many times instruction we feel, oh, why such kind of instruction? Not very pleasing to me. But it is needed. We need it. We need those kind of instruction. We can see Rishabdev instructing all his sons in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam. He got all his sons, 100. They were going to be the future leaders. He's training them. See, in the Varnashram society, he's a king. Now he's going to retire. Before that, he's training them. Naham deho deha bhaja kashtan kamana hade vibhujane tabo divyam puttavaganeva sattam shuddhye yasma dharma saukhyam tu anandam. He gave the instruction. This was the whole society. What is that? Naham deho deha bhaja. We are not this material body. Kashtan kamana hrade vibhujanye. Even this endeavor for material satisfaction, material pleasure, even vibhujan, those who eat stool, even a hog is endeavoring for material satisfaction, material pleasures. But as a human form, what we have to do? Tabo divyam. Austerities in devotion service. Putraga, addressing all the putragas. Then what happens? Sattum shuddhye. One's consciousness becomes purified. Yasmat. Brahma Saukhyam to another. One can get unlimited happiness. So this is the mercy of the devotees. They give powerful instructions through which we can transform our lives. So then, one is not really dependent on this, just the Varnashram, you know, the wrong understanding of Varnashram system, you know, I am a Brahmana, so I am superior, I am a Kshatriya, I am superior, like that. No, one understands, one is a devotee, a Vaishnava, one is a Vaishnava, and other things are subsidiary to that. It's not the most important. It is a Vaishnava. That is the most important. That's why even though Rishabdev instructed all his sons, not that all of them became Kshatriyas. Not all of them became Kshatriyas. Rishabdev, he was a Kshatriya. He was ruling then. Bharat Maharaj, he became the emperor of the entire world. He became the Kshatriyas. Emperor. And 9 of them became Navayogendras, Paramahamsas, who were just traveling and preaching Krishna consciousness. Same father. You know, people who are fighting for caste, we can see the right example. They became Navayogendras, who preached Krishna consciousness. Then other 8, they ruled over other Varshas. Or they were given different Varshas to rule over. So they also acted as the Kshatriyas. And the rest, they became Brahmanas. So you can see, three classes were generated by the same father. One was Kshatriya class, Brahmana class, and beyond, transcendental class, Paramahamsas. So everything is possible in Krishna consciousness. So one may act in different capacities according to Varna or Ashram, but the important point is devotion to Krishna. What's our service to Krishna? And that is the greatest gift. That is the greatest gift. So the devotees are giving that greatest gift. That's why it is mentioned here. They are the most compassionate. In by that, one can actually perfect the life. 11th canto, there is a very wonderful verse. It's mentioned. What is the... explaining again perfection. A businessman is considered very successful if he can invest the least and get the maximum profit, right? Least investment, but maximum profit. Then Krishna tells this to Uddhava. Similarly, how can we understand our success? We can invest something which is temporary and we can get something which is permanent. Temporary to eternal. So what is that temporary? That is this body. We can use this temporary body, this temporary human form of life, to get the eternal life. That's a real success. So a devotee can give that. So he is compassionate. So devotee is the greatest businessman. He can convert temporary into eternal. Who can do that? That's the greatest business. So that is a devotee. So that's the gift of the great devotees. So I'll stop here. See if there are any questions, comments. Maharaj, any comments? Any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned that you know how the society is divided, like one Brahmana, ten Kshatriya. I understand that that is an indicative of that there will be always more Shudras, more Vaishyas than Kshatriyas, more Kshatriyas than Brahmanas. Is that because as we also said previously, if a person takes birth again and again to elevate from Shudra to Vaishya, Vaishya to Kshatriya, Kshatriya to Brahmana, and is that because, is that like going to be forever, always? So that means that there will always be forever.
Okay. In the Vedic society, this kind of a ratio is presented for a typical Vedic society. In certain period of time. This is not an eternal principle. Like, you know, there has to be one Brahmana, there has to be a certain number of Shudra, etc. It's a general principle that is mentioned. And depends on the yuga also. Say, for example, in the Satya Yuga, it doesn't hold. Because primarily there is one class, that is Hamsas. They are all transcendentalists, Brahmanas and beyond. So this principle doesn't apply. So this principle is a general indication at certain point in time. Now, if you see Kali Yuga, definitely it is applicable. We can see primarily all Shudras, or lower than Shudras. Because even Shudras used to follow some kind of regulative principles. But we cannot even see Shudras. So these kind of principles are not eternal, but giving an indication in a typical Vedic society. That's all. Yeah. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
Can you suggest some of the practical applications we can do on a day-to-day basis to realize this verse?
Oh, about the compassion?
About this particular today's verse.
Yes, in the today's verse. Practical thing what we can do, we can preach Krishna consciousness. Because that's the way devotees do compassion, by preaching Krishna consciousness. We have so many opportunities for preaching. Actually, the whole world is waiting. The whole world is waiting. We need something. When we approach people, we see that there are people who are ready to take up Krishna consciousness. Who wants to hear about Krishna. Who wants to chant. It's very interesting. When we, last marathon, we were traveling throughout Victoria. Pretty much most of the main places we covered. When we go to this, the remote parts, we went to lakes entrance, for example. It's, 3-4 hours. The middle-aged and old ladies, they were telling, yeah, we want to try meditation. You go to really remote Victoria, maybe go north or, northwest. You go remote areas, there are people who are telling, you know, now yeah, actually I should do meditation. That's how they take a copy of Bhagavad Gita. They actually tell, yeah, we want to do meditation. Do you have any center here? That's the first thing they ask. Really, do you have a center here? Especially this happened in Tasmania. Tasmania book distribution was just amazing. We went just for a week, right? It was, you know, it was just an amazing experience. As we were traveling throughout Tasmania, main, you know, the bigger places, because it's other places are very small, and three of us were there. So it was interesting. In Hobart, when you were distributing books, many people asked, do we have a center here? And Tasmania is the place where I have distributed books in, you know, Victoria, many places, in Melbourne as well. But Tasmania is the only place. Many of them told me, Bhagavad Gita? Yeah, we know Bhagavad Gita. Every day I was meeting at least 2-3 people who would say, Bhagavad Gita, I know Bhagavad Gita. It was surprising. I was thinking, you know, otherwise, Bhagavad Gita, what is Bhagavad Gita? You know, we tell, you know, it's about yoga, meditation. This is like, you know, we know Bhagavad Gita. We already have a copy of Bhagavad Gita. Now take this copy. It's amazing. People in Tasmania. And another thing interesting about Tasmania was they were more into reading. Other part of, you know, Melbourne, Victoria, youngsters, they say, you know, look, yeah, reading, we never do reading anymore. We ask, you know, it's more games. They said, you know, yeah, we are spending time on with the games. That's it. Reading, you know, it's not for us. But Tasmania, we could see people, you know, they were, the reading habit was more. So in essence, we can see that people are ready to, they want something. Nowadays, meditation and the spiritual knowledge has come to the forefront. It is at least, it is, you know, it is something which people look for. It's mainstream. Meditation is certainly it's mainstream. So if we give that to people, then at least some people will take it. The reality is that we cannot change people so much. But if we find the people who are ready to accept, then we can make a difference. It's like, you know, some people who, they don't want to accept anything. We cannot change them. Okay, we can give them prasadam, maybe a slow path, which is possible. But if we find the people who are there to accept, that makes an impact. So yes, preaching is the practical application of this in different levels. Yes. Okay. Yes, Madhuri.
Like, sometimes you go to university and you find, like, you see that changing from one course to the other.
Yeah.
Like, what would be a practical way for us to help, like, them to find their
Varna? It's difficult. It's mixed up. It's not so easy. It's not so easy. One can ask questions, what do you like, what don't people don't like, but people are so much on mental, on a mental platform. One can ask, well, the problem is very, people are very subjective. Now I feel like doing this. You know, people are coming to that point. Now I feel like doing this, and I'm doing, and they themselves are saying, how long I'm going to do this, I don't know. This is how people are. Because it's mixed up. It's not so easy to find what is a varna. But eventually, in Krishna consciousness, we will find out. If someone takes to Krishna consciousness, that becomes clear. Actually, that becomes clear. If you start chanting, once varna becomes clear. The activities that we can do. And many times, we will do things which we never thought we would do. I never thought I would go to street and distribute any books. Selling, I thought there's something which I will do, you know, that's the last thing I would do. Or something like that. But, you know, after coming to Krishna consciousness, I could do that. Actually, in the beginning, I never thought that, not in Krishna consciousness, in initial years of my career, I never thought that I can teach. I can give lectures. I never thought that I can do that. And in Krishna consciousness, we see that, you know, I can do that. So, when we come to practical, if you ask a practical solution, they had to take to Krishna consciousness to some degree, hearing and chanting. Then, some of the unwanted things will go, the mind becomes clearer, then one can see what's one's conditioning, one's, you know, material conditioning. I think that's a practical solution to that. We can see in our own examples. We understand what we are good at after coming to Krishna consciousness. Thank you. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की श्री प्रभुपाद की।